Amen. Good morning. It's good to be with you. Thank God that He is alive and well and in control. And if you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to go back with me to Matthew chapter 24. I am in the middle of a series entitled The Rapture, The Revelation, and Everything in Between. Didn't you like Lois Gale's song, When He Comes? I know we're going through dark times. And I know this is a difficult time that we're facing. There's a lot of distress, a lot of despair, but I want to give you a little bit of delight. The outlook may be dark, but the uplook is bright. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, this one thing, that everything you're seeing is preparing us for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got into this message last week, and I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to read the first 14 verses as we dive into this chapter. Now, I want to make it real plain to you. Matthew chapter 24 does not pertain to the church. It does not pertain to the rapture. Matthew chapter 24, 1 through 31 pertains to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and describes the tribulation period. And I want you to know something. Church, we're not going through 1 second of the tribulation. I know there's a lot of false teaching out there. There's a lot of mid-tribulation raptures. There's a lot of post-tribulation raptures. There's a lot of people don't even believe in the rapture at all. But I want you to know something. The Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout and with a voice of an archangel, and those that are dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. Let's look at this chapter 24. And I want you to make sure you get your Bible open, because I'm going to go to some other passages of Scripture. And I want you to make sure you follow me this morning. The Bible said, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And His disciples came to Him for to show Him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as He sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto Him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And ye shall be hated of all nations for My name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. I want to make a few introductory statements. I've given a lengthy introduction last Sunday, but I want to give just a little bit more. I am a pre-tribulation rapturist. I believe the Bible teaches it. Now, I'm going to give you some reasons for that, but I want to go to the bedrock first of this pre-tribulation rapturist teaching. And by the way, it's not a theory, it's a fact. And by the way, it's found in the Word of God. Now, let me say this. The Bible is the Word of God. If we don't start there, see, there's a lot of doubt today being propagated in our world whether the Bible is the Word of God. I believe it is the inerrant Word of God. I believe it is the infallible Word of God. It is God-breathed. I want you to know there's no mistakes in the Bible. You may be mistaken. You may have run down a rabbit trail somewhere and got some false teaching, but the Bible is clear, and it is the Word of God. Bedrock number two, if we're going to study prophecy and the coming of the Lord, the Bible is to be interpreted literally, line upon line, and precept on precept. And if you study the Bible literally, you've got to come up and believe in a pre-tribulation, premillennial belief, or if you, amen. See, some of you spiritualize the Bible. Some of you, you don't have the doctrine of the church down or Israel down. I want you to know something. The church is not Israel, and Israel's not the church. Bank on that. Then number three, I want to emphasize it again. The church and Israel are separate entities. I do not believe in replacement theology. I believe it's right. A doctrine right from hell. God will deal with Israel during the tribulation period. He's dealing with the church right now in the church age. But then he's going to be done with the church when we're raptured. Hallelujah. I want to say this. Bedrock number four. I believe in a literal 1,000-year millennial kingdom. Amen. There'll be a day when the church, Israel, the sheep nations, and Christ will rule upon this earth for 1,000 years. I believe in a literal 7-year tribulation period. I believe that Jesus Christ one day will return again to this earth physically and come to the Mount of Olives and stand his feet down, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave. Somebody help me preach. I believe the Bible teaches the rapture of the church. Now get me now. The rapture and the revelation of Christ is two different things. Now I want to say a few more things about that very thought. The rapture is when believers meet Christ in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I don't know about you. I see the dark times we're living in. I see the troublesome times we're living in. I tell you what, I believe we're at 11:59 on God's timetable. I believe he's ready to come again. I want you to know the church is just about ready to leave here. What a victorious time it's going to be. Hallelujah. Boy, I feel some shout in me. The rapture, the believers will be met in the air at the second coming. Christ returns to the Mount of Olives to meet the believers on the earth. Hallelujah. We're going to come back with him on white horses. Oh, what a day that'll be. Let me say another thing. The rapture and the Mount of Olives is unchanged. There, nothing happens to the Mount of Olives at the rapture. But at the second coming, the Mount of Olives is divided, forming a valley to the east of Jerusalem. Number three, the rapture is living believers obtain glorified bodies. Oh, I want to tell you, there's a lot of sickness going on now, a lot of pain right now. But what a day it'll be when I get my new body. When I get a body like it under Jesus' body, oh Lord God, somebody ought to praise him. You're going to be reunited with your loved ones. You're going to see mom and dad and your friends. Hallelujah. Whew. Second coming, living believers remain in the same bodies known as the sheep nations. Number four, the rapture, believers go to heaven. The second coming, we come back to the earth on white horses. The rapture, the world be left unjudged and living in sin. At the second coming, The world is judged in righteousness, and righteousness is established. The rapture depicts the deliverance of the church from wrath. The Bible said we are going to be saved from wrath to come. Take that, mid-tribulation. Take that, post-tribulation raptures. I am not going to face any of God's wrath or the wrath of the tribulation period. I'm out of here. Glory. Whew. That's good preaching, even if I am doing it. Rapture, no signs precede it. See, there are a lot of people think there's signs to the rapture. There's no signs to the rapture. Matthew 24 is not a sign of the rapture. Matthew 24 is a sign of the second coming of Christ. The rapture is revealed only in the New Testament. Rapture is not mentioned in the Old Testament. The second coming is mentioned over and over and over again. Hallelujah. The second coming is revealed in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The rapture deals with only the saved. The second coming deals with both the saved and the unsaved. The rapture, Satan's still free. But the second coming, Satan is bound and thrown into the abyss. Now, I want to give you one more passage of scripture that I didn't cover last week, that I want to cover this morning. Then I'll get into our Matthew 24 text if I can. But I want to show you 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, if you got your Bibles. And go over with me. Turn. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be coming a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. I will say this. I'm going to stop right here. Right now, we are experiencing a great falling away in our world. Hey, there's people falling away from the teaching of salvation, the teaching of grace, the teaching of the second coming. Hey, there's a great number of people falling away. Now, let me read some more. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. Now listen to this. This is pre-tribulation rapture teaching right here. I want you to get it. And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Somebody ought to praise him. You said, what's holding him back? Preacher Smith, why isn't the Antichrist here right now in full bloom? I'll tell you something. There's somebody withholding him. And that somebody is the Holy Ghost. And you said, where's the Holy Ghost at? Oh, I'm glad you asked. The Holy Ghost indwells every believer. You say, when did you get the Holy Spirit? I got the Holy Spirit, every bit of the Holy Spirit, when I got saved. Amen. You said, hold a minute. I don't agree with that. Whether you agree with it or not, you're wrong, buddy. When I got saved, I got all the Holy Ghost. Your problem is the Holy Ghost don't have you. What's holding it up? What's holding up all hell breaking loose? What's holding up everything just going down? The Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit? He's dwelling in the church. He's dwelling in the believer. Who is the church? The church is not this building. This is a sanctuary. The church is born again, bloodlust believers, sealed by the Holy Spirit, indwelled by the Holy Spirit. And for the Holy Spirit to leave this world and stop restraining, he's got to take the church out. Whoa! Hallelujah. I want to tell you, that's straight preaching. Amen. Now let's look at our text, Matthew 24. And I told you, this text is a picture of the tribulation period. This is not a picture of the rapture. It's a picture of what's going to happen right prior to the second coming of Christ. But I'm going to show you some signs of the second coming that we're starting to see already. And if we're seeing them already, how close is the rapture, Jared? Hey, Chad, how close is the rapture? Hey, Josh, how close is the rapture? If things will start happening, hey, some of you people, you're not ignorant of what's going on right now, are you? We see the formation of a one world government. All this government control on the church. All this government control on society. It's something's going to happen in the last days. And we're seeing it. We're seeing the emerging of a possible tracking system of people. Well, I want to tell you, during the tribulation period, they're going to have the mark of the beast and they're going to be tracked. Hey, I want you to know something. We're closer than you think. This pandemic is just a picture and revealing some of the things just ready to happen. Now, why is there going to be a tribulation? To punish the Gentile nations. To purge Israel. Israel's going to be saved. Israel's going to be restored. Now, I want you to look at some of these verses. I want you to look at these first 14 verses. And I want to talk to you about how the tribulation commences. I want you to see that. I want you to look at verse 5 and verse number 11. The Bible said, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Verse number 11, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many." When the tribulation commences, there will be spiritual deception. Now, what's going to happen? And if you really want to know the Bible, lay down Revelation 6 beside Matthew 24. Revelation 6 is the Antichrist is revealed. How does he come first? He comes as a deceiver. He comes as a peace candidate. He comes to make peace with this world. Hey, this world's upside down right now. I want to tell you, this world is primed. Primed. Let me say it again. Primed for a visitation of the Antichrist. I want you to know, there is folks right now. You know the David Koresh's, the Jim Joneses. They're only just a picture of the Antichrist. But there's going to be an Antichrist comes that's going to bring spiritual deception. I want you to know something. We're living in that right now. That's some of you right now. I might as well just preach it like it is. You're deceived about salvation. Hey, there's some people, they're so silly. They believe God saved somebody in the Old Testament a different way than he did the New Testament. And he's going to save somebody different in the tribulation period and somebody different, save them different in the millennial kingdom. I want you to know, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And I want you to know something. If you get deceived about this thing of salvation, you're going to die and go to hell. If you get deceived about this thing of salvation, you're going to be left behind to face the Antichrist and the tribulation period. Lord, dear God, get right with God. Amen. Then in verses 6 through 13, I see social devastation. Look what the Bible says. "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." Our nation has been embroiled in wars for the last 20 years. There's wars all over the world. And during the tribulation period, the Antichrist is going to come make a peace. But as soon as he makes peace, he comes in Revelation 6:4 on a red horse and brings war and calamity. And right now, the bear from the north, Russia, is roaring. China, from which come this terrible virus, is roaring. And you know of a 200 million army that's going to come from the east toward the river Euphrates. Who you think that is? That's China. I want you to know something. There's a lot of people soft on China. A lot of politicians soft on China. Somebody help me preach. Whew. This world's political scene is getting more unstable by the day. Our nation is getting more unstable by the day. Now I want to notice the second thing in verse 7. This time will be marked by desperation. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. Oh, listen to me. We've got a little dose of it here in America. During this pandemic, y'all know how tough it's been at the supermarkets. You know how tough it's been to even get food. We've seen meat, the price of it raise. If you think it's bad now, you ought to wait till the tribulation period. Somebody help me preach. The Bible says that for a penny, that was a day's wages, you could buy 8 measures of wheat or 24 measures of barley. But in the last days, you'll only buy 1 measure of wheat. You say, what is it? It's going to take everything you got to just get by. Oh, listen. I'm glad I'm a member of the Church of the Living God. I'm glad I'm going up. I'm going up. I'm going up. Whew. Amen. Let me go on. Let me talk about this thing of famine and starvation. 84,000 people are starving every day. 2,592 per month. 31,104 every year. 75% of those are dying right now are infants that don't get enough food. What do you think it's going to be like during that time? Whew. Then look at verse 7 also. Boy, I really want to show you this. For nation, for rise against nation, and the kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. I want you to notice that little word, pestilence. It tells us that the tribulation period will be a time when diseases will run rampant. Oh my. Jared, this pandemic we're experiencing is not an accident. It's just ushering in what's going to happen in an enormous way soon. Somebody help me preach. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, in the first half of the tribulation period, the Bible says that 25% of the world's population will die in the first, listen to me, first half of the tribulation period. You said, how many people is that? That's 1.75 billion. How are they going to die? They're going to die by starvation. They're going to die by war. They're going to die by disease and pestilence. This coronavirus, it's just a little taste of what the world is going to face during the tribulation period. But if we're starting to see it now, and Well, glory. If we're starting to see it now, how close is it for the trumpet to sound and the dead in Christ rise first and we be raptured? I want you to know something. These are all signs of the second coming and the tribulation period, but we're seeing a part of them right now before our eyes, just a prelude of what's going to come after. You ought to get ready. You ought to get saved. Glory. If you ain't going, hey, somebody on the internet, I'll say, good preaching, Reverend. Whew. Amen. Look at verse 7 again. Be a time of marked disasters, earthquakes, natural disasters. We've already seen seven storms come from hurricanes or tropical storms already this early in the season. You say, what's happening, preacher? I'll tell you what's happening. Natural disaster is happening. Calamity is happening. Problems are everywhere. Pestilence is happening. Earthquakes are happening. You say, what should I do? You need to lift up your head if you're saved, because your redemption draweth nigh. Whew. Now, let me give you a fifth thing in verse 10 and verse 12. This time will be marked by disobedience. Look at verse 10. And this is important that you see the context here. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Ladies and gentlemen, let's just tell it like it is. We're living in America that I never knew about. Our nation is divided. There is so much hatred. There's so much bitterness. There's so much anger. Hey, even amongst God's people, you know something? We ought to realize something. We're not the enemy. The devil's the enemy. We need not to shoot our own wounded. Hey, there's so much hate. There's so many movements today. You know, the Black Lives Matter. Well, I want to tell you what. Black lives do matter. White lives matter. Every life matters. And I want you to know something. That unborn baby matters. We're living in a nation that 1.3 million babies die every year. God help us. Lift up your hand. Our redemption draweth nigh. Whew. Glory. Stay with me. In verse 12. It says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Dear God, aren't we seeing that now? Let me give you a little poll I read recently. It said that 85% of the population of the United States claims to be Christian. Now, you hear me? Well, now I want to ask you a question. How can that be true when 62% of all Americans believe the Bible's not totally true? How can that be true when 75% of Americans don't believe in the existence of a personal, real devil? How can that be true when pornography earns an estimated $20 billion a year in the United States alone? How can that be true when 4 million men every day visit porn sites on the internet? How can that be true when 1.3 million unborn babies are aborted in this country every day? We're not living in a Christian nation. We're living in a nation that is away from God, that's rebelled from God, that's only going to get worse and worse and worse. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody ought to help me. And I want to tell you something. There's some of you listening to this right now. You're not saved. You're not saved. You're on your way to hell. You're either going to die and go to hell or be left behind for this tribulation period. You're seeing it. You've got to be blind if you ain't seeing the hate and the resentment and the bitterness and seeing this nation that we love so much going down the tubes. Somebody ought to praise him right now that we're saved and we're on our way to heaven. I want you to know something. There's a real devil. There's a real hell. There's a real heaven. There's a real second coming. There's a real rapture. But I really want to ask you this question. Are you ready? Oh, hey, are you ready? Amen. And by the way, you need to quit playing church. Your church membership is not going to get you to heaven. You having your name on a book is not going to get you to heaven. You paying your tithes is not going to get you to heaven. Only thing will get you to heaven is for you to be blood washed in the blood of Jesus. Or can wash away my sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm going to continue this preaching tonight in this series. But can I ask you something? If you died today, do you know you go to heaven? If Christ would come right now, are you confident you'd be delivered out of here? You can't be. The Bible said these things are written that you might know that you're a child of God. You say, Preacher Smith, do you believe you can know? Yes, you can know right now. If you're listening to me right now and you're lost, and you see the course of this world, but you don't want to be left behind at the rapture, you could pray a prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner. God, forgive me of my sin. Christ, the best way I know how, I'm trusting you as Savior. Thank you for saving me. And if you're here right now and you're listening to me, and your love's waxed cold, and you're indifferent, and you're not where you should be with God. And you're saved, but you're so cold, so lukewarm. You're a mess. You've got some habits in your life that's not right. Hey, I want you to know you need to be delivered as a Christian. You need to be ready to meet the Lord. Hey, I want you to know there's a way back for you too, Christian. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now, I want you to tune in again tonight, will you? I'll be preaching in this message the rapture and the revelation and everything in between. And we'll discuss this tribulation period a little bit more thorough tonight. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the message this morning. Lord, as we're in the midst of trouble and a pandemic and perilous times, help us to grab a hold of our anchor, the Lord Jesus, and live for him. And his hope is our hope. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name for his sake. Amen.